May the Lord help me in speaking, friends, and you in hearing. I would direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 23 and the first verse. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't know whether you've ever considered that it's quite a wonderful thing that David, the shepherd boy, should pen the psalm regarding the Lord being his shepherd. He knew all about shepherding. He was very skilled in the area from a young man. And we read in Samuel, indeed, as he made his case for going to fight Goliath, that he had warded off the enemies of the sheep. He said that thy servant slew the lion and the bear. And he was very clear that he went out after a lion as he kept his father's sheep, and he went out after a bear as they desired to take a lamb out of the flock, and he thought them off. So he knew all about the skill of a shepherd. And of course, one of the weapons that he had was his sling, which was a mighty weapon. And I read somewhere that they could sling the stones at up to about 80 miles an hour if they were quite skilled. And of course, it was the speed of that in a natural way killed Goliath. So a wonderful thing it is that David should pen here that the Lord is his shepherd. He that knew and had all the skills of shepherding. But he made that a very clear statement at the beginning of this psalm. I think really Psalm 23, for me, it splits into two parts really. The first four verses really refer in many ways to the shepherding aspect and the sheep of Christ lying down in the pastures and being restored and going through the valley of the shadow of death. Friends, I think that means literally death as well as the shadow of death, as in troubles and difficulties in this life. But I will fear no evil. Why? Because of the rod and the staff, which I hope to come to in a moment, which are some of the tools of the shepherd. So really there's a shepherding theme for the first four verses. The good shepherd and the Lord's people that are the lambs and the sheep. And then there's this rather wonderful hosting of them in verses 5 and 6, where there's a table that's prepared for them, the Lord's people, and that they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's as if God becomes the host of these sheep after that initial part. It's a beautiful and very, very well-known and often read psalm. And friends, I have to say, more than once I've read it, and I'm sure you have, if you've visited people towards the end of their life, it's a very readable psalm to read. And we lost one of our members at East Peckham last October, and you know, I would read this. The psalm was never blessed to her personally. She had other blessings, but I would read this psalm. And I'll be honest, the first time I read it to her was when I went into hospital and the internet didn't work. And it was a case of reading to her and I couldn't get anything else on the Bible on my phone, at which she'd been rushed in. And I'd rushed in as well to see her after having a stroke. And friends, I had to read from memory, shall we say. And the Lord helped me to read this psalm to her. And you know that dear lady, when we came to those last two words in verse 6, how she would say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, and she would repeat those with some quite a definite voice, forever. And I believe she's there, friends. One of the sheep that have been safely carried across Jordan's river and into the land of heaven. But so, friends, what a beautiful psalm it is. It's so often read and to those on a dying bed, but also one that, friends, I believe we probably all have a love to because we can see the simplicity in it. Well, there were two aspects, really, of the psalm tonight. There's the first statement, the Lord is my shepherd, a very personal statement that David made. And then secondly, I shall not want, which means really I shall not be in want. The Lord will supply all my need. David's confidence in God's providential care and goodness. I shall not want. And I think there is a different aspect to that as well, is that I shall not want of the things of this world, but I shall want of God's goodness and love, more importantly than the things of this life. So the first statement then, the Lord is my shepherd. So it's a statement of certainty. And you know, it's such a question for us each tonight, that could we make this statement? The Lord's people, you know, they will be brought to know him as their shepherd. Can we say it? The Lord is my. It's a personal possessive pronoun. For those of you that study your English grammar. Mine. My. And Anne Steele says, oh, that I could call thee mine. May I with confidence claim a portion so divine. Yes, my Father, my God, the Lord is my shepherd. But it's also in the present tense, is my shepherd. And being my shepherd will have been my shepherd from the time I was born to the time that I die, and indeed for all eternity. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we know that the Lord appoints under shepherds over the people to be pastors. And we read in Ezekiel that the under shepherds were not feeding the flock, rather feeding themselves. That is, they were there for the materialism that the gospel brings with its financial benefits, rather than doing that which was right. But it's a lovely chapter, Ezekiel 34, where it speaks of the Lord Jesus, of God in heaven, going out and seeketh his flock. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock, so will I seek out my sheep. And it's those sheep that he's gone out to seek, which he does there, and he speaks of this in verse 12 in Ezekiel 34. And I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered. This is rather a beautiful theme, because I do believe the Lord's people are scattered in all different places. My sister recently went on a holiday to Malta, because it was the place where, and she wanted to do that because it was the place where my father was wrought on of the Lord. He was 14 and he decided to leave chapel and have nothing to do with religion. And he was of the age and in the time that they were called to do national service. And he opted for the 5-year national service because he thought it'd be longer away from home. And can I be honest, friends? Further away from God. That's what he thought. And so part of that service was to go to Malta, which he was very excited about. Went to Malta, sat down on his billet on the first Lord's Day over there, and the Lord entered into his heart. And he said there was like an aching void. And he vowed to go back to chapel when he came back to England for his next period of vacation. But furthermore, he started going to the Methodist church in Valletta in Malta. There was a major change. The Lord had worked in his heart. He'd sought out that sheep some 9 years later at the age of 23 and enforced him to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ savingly. Now you see, the thing is, that's just one example of a sheep. But you see, we may have been attending a place of worship all our life, but we've still been a sheep scattered, because we've been in our sins, born and shapen in sin, and we've needed to be brought by the Good Shepherd, brought back into the ways of the Lord's followers, to be a sheep that looks to the Shepherd. And so that is a wonderful theme. I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them. I will bring them out and I will feed them, verse 14 in Ezekiel, in a good pasture. I will feed them. And of course, to feed them, the sheep are made hungry, that they need to be fed. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. Oh, friends, it's so wonderful. If you and I can get here, pray to be here. The Lord is my shepherd. I simply cannot do without this shepherd. You see, we might think upon sheep and what we know of sheep. We know they're fickle. We know they're feeble. We know that they follow one another. We know that they wander. We know that they get caught in hedges. We know that they do silly things. Yes. And friends, we know that they get themselves into danger. Even as I can recall during my school days, seeing a sheep on its back that had to be turned around. And as it transpired, we knew the farmer, and were able to contact them and to let them know, because a sheep will die when it's on its back because it can't turn back over. Friends, doesn't this speak of sin? Doesn't it speak of a sheep, as it were, that's in the ways of sin, turned its back upon God? It needs to be turned back around, doesn't it? And only the farmer could do that, or the shepherd in love, to turn that sheep round so it would live. There's gospels in this, you know. But the Lord is my shepherd. And these silly, fickle sheep, then, as we might think of some of the aspects of a sheep, they're very exposed, aren't they? You know, particularly when they're lambs, they're very exposed. You think of the foxes that get in and desire to get into the flock. Well, they need a shepherd. They need one to watch over them. They need one to be a guardian. They need one to be a guide. And this speaks of the Lord in his shepherding role for the sheep. That you and I might be amongst them, to be shepherded, to be guarded and guided and watched over by his heavenly watchful care. Now, when I was at Staplehurst, we had a shepherd amongst us. He's been dead several years now, but he was a dear man, and he kept several Jacob variety of sheep. And he called called me over to his farm to show one or two of his shepherding techniques. But when we went over there, he asked me to come to a gate for the field, and he got several of these sheep there. And he said to me, he said, "Call out to them." I called out to them, and there was no response. And then he said, "Try again." I tried again, and absolutely no response. And then he said, "You can go into the field and spread around some food for them and see if they'd come to you. They still wouldn't come to me. Because I was a stranger. Because they knew me not. And this is the thing, friends. Do you and I know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know his call? I believe his call is clear. Obviously, it was a very clear case that I quoted regarding my father, but we're all different. But his call, he's called us if we are true sheep. And my sheep hear my voice. John 10 is a lovely chapter, which I did ponder reading, but which we know very well. But my sheep hear me. They know my voice and have known of me. And that's the thing. And then, of course, this shepherd, he called out. One of them came, and then the others followed. They knew his voice, and he didn't even need to tempt them with the food. They knew who was talking. They knew his voice. They knew his call. Friends, there was so much teaching in it. And this is it, the call of the Saviour. Wonderful, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew it. David knew it indeed, that he was a great sinner, but he was convicted of his sins, and he knew the call of the Lord Jesus, of God in heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. And so, as we think, again, back to the shepherd, friends, you know, scripturally, there's so many thoughts about the shepherds. Now, we know that in eastern lands, they work differently to here, where the shepherd goes before the sheep. And, of course, that speaks spiritually of the Lord Jesus Christ going before the sheep, that they follow him, which is exactly we read, that my sheep follow me. I think in John 10 it speaks of that. But in this country, of course, we tend to drive the sheep. It's worked the other way. But nonetheless, whichever way it is, friends, I do think this psalm ends up with those words, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see, there has to be a sweeping up behind us, even if the Lord goes before us, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need that goodness and mercy. But you see, as sheep, with those various aspects we talked about, fickleness and feebleness and weakness and exposure to many prey, friends, it speaks spiritually to us as well. There was a minister, I think his name, he was in Aberdeen, Douglas McLaren was his name, and he preached in the Free Church of Scotland, and he had been for 18 years a shepherd, and he saw many things that helped him to speak in the ministry regarding them. But one of the things was this, that when the prey got in, particularly a fox, and he would notice that they would try to get the sheep and the lambs, and particularly the lambs that were exposed. They knew which sheep were exposed. Friends, I love this, because it speaks spiritually of the Lord watching over those that are walking in a temptation, a path of temptation, a path of real trouble, a path when they really need the Lord. He's watching over them. He knows exactly what they're going through, and he's watchful, loving care at such times. Well, this man said this, that the fox would be really clever in one particular area of his farm that would get very boggy. And if he could get the sheep, and particularly the lambs and the exposed ones, into that boggy area, then they would get trapped and wouldn't be able to escape so easily. And so the fox would lead them there. Oh, the cunning nature of the fox. Friends, it speaks of the cunning nature of our hearts. Naturally, it speaks of the cunning nature of the enemy of souls. Friends, these are solemn thoughts, aren't they? But it's true. We need a shepherd to shepherd us in those green pastures, to watch over us when the enemy of souls comes in, when our own heart is edging itself into worldly things to keep us in that pasture, so that we are safe. But oh, how wonderful too, when we think of the parable of the lost sheep. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he have one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he have found it, he doesn't just bring it along, but he layeth it in love upon his shoulders. Friends, I love this. It's the gospel message. This poor wandering sheep that the Lord has gone and got and put it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. Yes, I found my sheep which was lost. Likewise shall there be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Friends, I'm going to ask you this question. Has there been joy in heaven over your repentance? You think of it. If you've repented and repented again, but that initial repentance, there's joy in heaven. There's been singing in heaven because you have confessed your sins before a holy God. Isn't that wonderful? Do you think of it? All heaven has sung with joy because of that. It's the only place in Scripture where we hear of that. Something on earth that has affected heaven in that way. Rejoice with me. Yes, but there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. More than over 99 just people. They don't need repentance, but the one that has repented unto God. Yes, the gospel for sinners, isn't it? The gospel is for the wandering sheep. The gospel is for the black sheep, shall I say. The gospel is for the fickle sheep and the feeble sheep. Yes, the weak sheep. That's what it's for. What a beautiful message we have in this subject this evening. And then the Lord is my shepherd. But I want to come on as helped to consider these two tools that the shepherd uses in verse 4, the rod and the staff. Now they're a comfort to the sheep. They're a comfort to the sheep because of their purpose. First of all, the rod. The rod of the sheep certainly was used in those days. It was a shorter and more solid rod, shall we say, than the staff, which was longer and narrower and had got a hook on the end. Really, we would refer to it as a shepherd's crook. But let us come back to the rod. The rod, first of all, it was used for two main purposes. The first one, to count the sheep. What a thought, to count the sheep. Oh, friends, are we counted amongst the sheep? Or are we counted amongst the goats? It's so clear in Scripture, isn't it? The sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left, the goats to be cut off eternally, the sheep to be made right. Oh, friends, count a counting stick. And friends, you know, I believe this, as a hymn comes into my mind, I believe the sheep, you know, this is it. This is the real acid test for you and I. There is a hymn, and it says this: count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will rejoice in what the Lord has done. If you're amongst those that have been counted of God as his sheep, you will be brought to see his hand and all his blessings and all his favours in your life and in the way of salvation. I believe you will. Friends, you'll know that counting. But this rod that is that's used to count the sheep, you can imagine it. All the sheep in a fold, all huddled together, and they're, with this rod they're counting the sheep. Ah, to be counted amongst those that have a place in heaven for all eternity. Now the second purpose of this rod was, should we say, gentle chastising. Used as a gentle tool to, as it were, just bring back a wandering sheep. Just a little gentle tap. This is what the Lord does to his people. There's so much more in this than we've got time for. But friends, you see, the chastisement of the Lord Jesus Christ, like the hymn says, it speaks of, I think that a child will look to when it will look to its father after it's been chastened, and will come back in love to its father. And so we will come back to the Heavenly Father. The chastening, you see, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, because we don't like it. We didn't like it when we were at school or when we were young people, and we don't like it now when we're walking as sheep, if we are sheep, and we're wandering off and trying to get through the hedge and going into Bath Meadow and going into ways we shouldn't be. So there's that chastising, the use of the rod, the gentle use of the rod, because it's done in love. It's summed up by that hymn, not in anger. There's no correction of the sheep in anger from the good shepherd, friends. It's done in love, not in anger, but from his dear covenant love. So we think of this, this rod. What a comfort it is to know that if we wander, he will bring us back. And what a comfort it is to know that we are counted amongst the elect. But then, friends, there is this thought about the staff. Why does a shepherd need a second rod, a longer rod? Why does he need it with a crook on the end? Well, there's two things, really. Firstly, this is something where he really can pull back the wandering sheep that's wandering further, because he can gather it with the crook at the end, and he can get on its back and touch it to gently bring it back into the right ways. Our friend, that is, as it were, guidance, direction, that the Lord would have us to seek for that. That we desire to do that which is according to his will. What a great God we have in those things. And then the other thing of this, with this crook, is defense. Defense against enemies. Defense against something that would attack against the sheep. Because the crook, and it's a longer stick, the shepherd can use it to fight off the enemies. Our friends, this great, great shepherd that we have, who will fight for us, he will fight our battles, he will fight against our own heart, our own sinful ways, our own sinful lusts, our own sinful desires. He will fight against those that oppose us. Yes. We shall prove like Jehoshaphat, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Ah, this God. So how he uses these elements to work for us. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a lovely word in Jeremiah 31. Where it says, he that scattered Israel, verse 10, will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. Ah, he will keep them He will keep them in safety and watch over them every moment of the day. Oh, friends, what a favour it is to know something of the Good Shepherd. Let me come to briefly to look at John 10. Where it's very clear that the sheep follow this shepherd. A stranger, as I mentioned already with that example we quoted, they will not follow. But they will follow this shepherd. But he is the very door of the sheep. And he is clear that he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, you know, in a way, we started our sermon talking about David and how wonderful it was that he expresses in the psalm. Now, I think about David. You know, his life was at risk as a young man with a lion and a bear. They're both killers. And yet he was able to rescue the lamb from them. But you think of this. He was prepared to, as it were, potentially die at the hand of those beasts. It speaks of the Lord Jesus, who died, the Good Shepherd, who died that his sheep might have life. And the Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's how far the love is. That's how much this Good Shepherd loves his children. But there's another thing about a shepherd, and I did notice it when we went on this farm with the shepherd at the chapel we had. And that was it. He knew the peculiarities of each of his sheep. He knew all about them. He knew the ones that would be there first for the food. He knew the ones that would be a little bit more tentative. He knew the ones that were most likely to wander. He knew the ones that sometimes he couldn't find anywhere and have to go searching for them. He knew the ones that were more lazy than the others. He knew the ones that were most likely to suddenly go off and drag others with them. Friends, he knows our individual case. And that's so beautiful to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I, as his miscreant sheep, wandering around, far off from God at times. He knows what I'm in. He knows my own personal experience. And yes, he knows others, each of these sheep as well. But they're known to him. And all their foibles. And all their issues. And may I say it. We sung of it. All their circumstances in their life are known unto him. What a good shepherd he is. It's a lovely message. It really is. Well, friends, I don't want to keep you. Let's come to this briefly to this second part. I shall not want. I shall not want. Because I have this shepherd, he will provide for me. He will ensure that I am fed, that I am watered, both with the gospel and naturally in life, in my providential circumstances. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, says Psalm 34, for there is no want to them that fear him. No want. They won't want for anything. Their needs will all be supplied. And friend, whatever you're in today, you will prove this. He shall, says Isaiah, feed his flock like a shepherd. He should gather the lambs with his arm. This is saying more of the tenderness of the shepherd and the love of the shepherd. And he should carry them in his bosom. The lambs that are so weak and feeble. And shall gently lead those that are with young. But you see, he will provide the rich provision of this shepherd. The Lord will provide. The Lord must provide. David writes again in Psalm 37, and it is considered that it was written towards the end of his life, and he writes like this, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, and this, nor his seed begging bread. Ah, I won't have him to be a beggar, only at my door, because I will provide. I will always provide a way for him. I shall not want for anything, for my God shall supply all my need. Yes, all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Ah, what a providing God we have. And I believe the sheep know something of it. They do naturally, of course. I spoke of the food that they needed providing. And so it is spiritually. He knows what we are in need of. He knows what we need spiritually. He knows when we need those showers of blessing. He knows when we need something to encourage and help us by the way. He knoweth. He knoweth those things. And we read in Ezekiel 34, I will feed them. I will feed them in a good pasture. Yes. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Yes. I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not be in want, because Jehovah Jireh is my God, who will provide for me. Well, friends, perhaps you need a particular provision. The Lord knows. As your shepherd, he alone can do it in his way and according to his will. But I do believe I shall not be in want. It is something you will truly prove. And you know, I see there there's a connection with Matthew's Gospel, where it says this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the sheep will be seekers exactly after that. Well, friends, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that other form of not wanting is to not want the things of this life. Friends, I do believe, I know it's often you see it in dying people, they are really weaned from the things of this life. But I do believe the sheep of Christ know what it is to desire to not be totally caught up with these things. I shall not want. I shall want of the things of God. I shall want of the gospel messages. I shall want of God's favour and mercy. And they desire to have, as Cowper penned it, that closer walk with God and that calm and heavenly frame. Well, may the Lord bless the word to us this evening. And may we have those thoughts, and there's many of them. And I know some of you, friends, have witnessed the Eastern Shepherds. But to have these thoughts of following the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen.